Welcome to the Choice Magazine podcast, Beyond the Page. Choice, the magazine of professional coaching, is your go-to source for expert insights in and in-depth features from the world of professional coaching. I'm your host, Gary Schleifer, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today, listening in. In each episode, we go beyond the page, go figure, of articles published in Choice Magazine and dive deeper into some of the most recent and relevant topics impacting the world of professional coaching. Exploring the content, interviewing the talented minds. Let's see if I get it right. There. No, there. Oh, I don't know. I can't do this on Zoom. And I'm covering the stories that make an impact. Choice is more than a magazine. For over 21 years, we've built a community of like-minded people who create, use, and share coaching tools, tips, and techniques to add value to their businesses and, of course, to impact their clients. In today's episode, I'm speaking with executive and team coach Dura Hagedush, who's the author of an article in our latest issue, Unspeakables, Uncomfortable Topics We Avoid That Impact Coaching Outcomes. Her specific article is entitled Unspeakables, The Hidden Trap Between Us. Ooh, it's a great article. Dura Hagedush offers a safe harbor for leaders and teams to reflect and deep dive, reinvent themselves, and impact their environment for a meaningful and sustainable future. She's an ICF, International Coaching Federation, master certified coach, executive and team coach. She's a coach trainer, level two, awesome, a gestalt therapist, and a supervisor with 30 years, I'm sure it's more than that now, of international business and leadership experience. She received the ICF President's Award in 2012 as a role model for the values of ICF that we all hold sacred. Integrity, excellence, respect, and collaboration. Well, let me say congratulations and welcome,
Thank you.
Dura. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell me a little bit more about that award.
Oh, that's very special. I must say that I had some conversation with Janet. She was the president at
Oh,
that
Jen
time.
Harvey, yeah, on our editorial board.
Yeah. And I remember very well the moment she called me. I was in the office. And I had to sit down because I didn't get what she was talking about at all. It was so much out of the blue, unexpected, unplanned, that I got a kind of shock. And it took me years actually to be able to accept it beyond the physical. I got it on the during the London conference, and but it took me years to really believe that, I believe that she meant it, but the side that, do I deserve it? I mean, there are so many great coaches. So,
Yes, there are, and you're one of them. So, congratulations again.
Thank you.
Let's get down to this. Why did you decide to write this article?
I love writing. But I would never write just okay, let's write something. And I need some inspiration. Deadline also helps. This idea of unspeakables, it just was positively triggering me. A lot of sparks.
Well, cool. Well, thank you very much. It is excellent. A couple of things I noticed in there. I really love that you gave us lots of coaching tips. You gave us the perspective from the coach and the client, and the impact, and also the things that are common to both. So hope we'll touch on some of that. Question: why is unspeakables important at all? I mean, when you think about it, we only meet with a client for a certain amount of hours, and we don't have to know everything about them. Isn't it enough to work with just what they bring every day?
Yeah, that's a solid question that I hear often for during coach trainings, for example. So beginner coaches are just normally not don't feel confident enough to go there. So it's better to stay on the safe side, topic level, task level. Let's talk about your goals. Positive images and you can do it attitude. And I think it's perfect enough for ACC level and it's helpful for many. And And my experience is that beyond that, leaders, but also like other human beings, just like for life coaching, if they want to achieve sustainable change, sustainable results, it's not enough to stay on that level. That is obvious. But like, okay, so even in the ICF competencies, the unsaid, what's there? There is something in the story that was not verbalized yet, but it's important.
And are you are is this an intuition feeling or like I'm getting it, that's what it sounds like to me. Like when you t say that right away, I've experienced with two recent clients where I'd like to joke about saying, oh, well, you really buried the headline, meaning they told this story, told this story, told this story, and then this unspeakable thing. It wasn't necessarily unspeakable, but certainly something that shifted the whole conversation came out almost at the end of the story. So we like to call it burying the headline, right?
Yeah, and I think it has so many layers because there are things, even in therapy, that are like too difficult to approach, too difficult to look at directly in the eyes, like the Greek
Oh,
myths.
yeah.
You remember, you just look it through a mirror, otherwise you become stone. And I'm not in coaching, we are not going there, that's obvious. But still, there are topics or things that are just like makes you feel itchy, uncomfortable, may trigger shame. So we need to be very respectful and careful. But not going there would mean actually yet again do some more of the same the client has been doing for
Right.
decades.
Yeah. One thing that comes to mind right away when you say that is the uncomfortableness of the coach because of some of the stories that we tell ourselves that we shouldn't go down the path of the past or, might be therapy. And we've published a lot of articles about this and it's okay. And it's all and our job is to be informed about being able to handle it the best that we can. Right, like we have articles on trauma-informed coaching and things like that. So that kind of thing. So it's very helpful to know. And what I got from your article is that it's okay to go in there. And I'm remembering when I read it, thinking to myself, okay, yeah, I'm not an expert in all of these experiences that people have, but I'm curious enough to know, and to bring it forward. Right. So, yeah.
And again, back to ICF competencies, it's expected that I can manage my own strong emotions and also the clients. That's in a professional expectation. So because anything can happen during the session, I cannot use my energy to control that we stay at the surface level because then it's flowed the whole thing. And I think how I see the most important role of a coach in such a situation is beside grounding themselves, is to hold the space. We don't have to solve it. We don't have to fix the client. It's not our job. We don't have the license for that.
Right.
But holding the space, kind of normalizing it, that it's perfectly natural that you feel rage or you feel ashamed. And that's very human. And it's okay. And I can take it. It's fine. That is already just normalizing it is a step towards healing, actually. It's not our job to heal the client. And of course, there are paths how you can, invite other professionals, but running away from an emotionally difficult situation is a slap in the client's face.
Yeah, re-traumatizing, slap in their face, adding to what's already there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you confirm that you are a problem. Hey, fix yourself. I can't deal with it. So just I always tell even to junior coaches, just stay there. Just stay, keep eye contact, breathe.
Oh, so just doing it now, just when you said that, I was like taking a breath.
And trust the client that they've been managing it for 30, 60 years. They will manage it during the session.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Seriously, this article was brilliant. Well, I want to point out one of the areas of unspeakables, and it's tough secrets. So before I ask you about preparing for tough secrets, can you give an example or examples of what you consider tough secrets?
To put it simple, probably the trigger deep shame. I would put it not a category like yeah, financial or adultery or anything can be that brings up shame.
Wow. Okay. All right. So now let's ask the question. How do you prepare for dealing with those tough secrets?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's very much dependent on who I am as a coach. Where are my values? Where are my beliefs? How I am biased, either in a negative or positive way. So both, because those secrets can hit me actually as a coach. What if they go against my beliefs, my whole worldview. So being prepared, I think what is most important is aiming at staying non-judgmental. Of course, verbally, we can keep that, but also mentally, internally. And if I feel any kind of like something bubbling up, bracket it for the moment, for the session. And deal with it after. That's a super important homework. Go to supervision, work with it, either therapy.
I
It's
was just going to
homework.
say I'm in a group supervision program, so we meet every 2 months. And my case this time last week was exactly about that. The biases that I'm noticing based on gender, age, voice, like the oh, so many of them, right? And I just thought it was time. And then, of course, reading this article, I just love publishing Choice. I meet such great people and learn so much. And then we do the podcast and we learn so much more. So thank you. I'm just reflecting back on the answer you just gave and just thinking about being the coach and noticing and self-managing is, I think, the thing I'm taking most from this is a self-awareness as a coach in the moment, and self-management once you see what you're observing. Yeah, cool. Well, we opened that can of worms that coaches are biased.
Oh,
How do
yeah.
yeah so How do I know I still have biases? I mean, I meant some, but I'm sure I've got other ones. How do I uncover these things?
I think you know you still have biases if you have a pulse.
That's brilliant. I love it. Okay, done. All right, thanks for coming to
Oh, yeah.
the podcast.
No, but seriously, it's like sometimes I hear enlightened people that they no longer have biases. It's just impossible. We are human beings, and I can spend days and weeks without actually experiencing them. But then a sudden stress situation, and you're just pay attention, to your first reaction in your head, and it will be, I guarantee, something around that dot dot dot, whatever nationality or gender or race. I guarantee you, because that's how we were raised. That's from very early on what we heard at the dinner table. And of course we are working on it. Of course it's not influencing, like maybe a coaching session. But just let's be honest, it's an effort. It doesn't come naturally. It gives us actually safety back to the Stone Age, whatever, dinosaurs.
Conditioning, yes.
We had to know whom to trust, and everybody else was out of trust. So even in the digital age, it's still true. We need to know whom to trust, and just be honest with yourself. There is no good or bad, and be aware and work on it. And the best thing I think, mainly race-wise or like nationalities, go there, talk to them, have experience, convince yourself with a direct human experience. There would be no wars. We know that.
You know what I'm what I all and you just touched on this. I get word prompts in my head. And one of the words that came through, and it's in this conversation as well, is trust. Trust that your client is naturally creative, resourceful, and whole, that we are not here to fix, that trust is a tool to be used to help allow the client to feel very comfortable with you. I mean, toss that in with confidentiality, obviously, that's a start. And what I wrap that up with is a part of your article about power dynamics. And this is only something I recently, like, I've been coaching for 23 years and 2 months. Like, seriously, I just figured this out. But we come in with a power dynamic, like so many people. It wasn't obvious to me before, and it's not obvious in the relationship. But a lot of the times, when all of a sudden I'll hear them say, "Well, what would you do?" or "Can I have some advice?" and I'm like, "Oh, right, we're up here again. Let's reduce the power dynamic." So I just really wanted to acknowledge you for the intricacy of trust in this article and conversation, and also the specific topic about power dynamics.
And actually, it's a huge trap because we label our profession as a helping profession, right? So it sounds very how to put it?
Contradictory.
Yes.
That's the word came to mind for me.
And humble, right? I'm helping, but it's on the contrary, if I'm helping, actually, why can I help? Because I'm stronger.
Yeah, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, you're hiring me and paying me, right? Like, all kinds of things can come up.
And it comes from the situation, so it's not that we just have to deal with it. We just have to be aware that it's for the eye level conversation, we have to work hard.
And like agreements to continue to remind ourselves and the people we're working with. So even the language, coach, client, it's almost like, again, our upbringing, coaches in sports, right? They're the boss, you do what they say. And I'm like, so breaking that down or pulling it back or leveling the playing field, using another sports analogy. Yeah, very important. And like I say, just something I recently was made aware of. And now I add that into my coaching conversation. It's the same as with diversity, equity, and inclusion. When I'm working with anyone, I'll say, "I'm a white man of privilege and I know it. And please let me know if you feel that uncomfortable or unable or unwilling to speak about that because of it. I'm okay. I can handle it," right? Or women, it's like, okay, I'll make fun of it. I say, "Well, I know how guys are, so don't worry about it. I won't take it personally," right? So it just lightens the mood and, adds some safety and opportunity.
It's really important, and one more aspect to that. One is what you talked about. It's be very transparent and offering what you offer. The other thing is what I love is that feel confident in the space of not knowing, and be very human. That so much helps to come off the plateau. And yeah, I don't know either. I don't
Yeah.
know. I've never been there.
Yeah, tell me more. This is a safe space, some reminders. I really love what you say because I'm on the MCC journey. I have five of the eight things handled to get MCC. The toughest part's yet to come, obviously.
Painful road.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I'm just getting comfortable and everybody's saying, oh no, and now you have a
Will
shoulder back.
feel so good after
I'll
that.
bet. I'll bet. Well, I guess, yeah, right. 23 years in the making. Like I took some time to work more on the business of choice, but I'm back. Why I'm saying that is because you hit on a key point that I remember while I'm coaching and when I'm thinking about a great coach, being comfortable with the not knowing. Because when you keep coming forward with knowing or things you think you know or want to do or what's next or procedure or process or whatever, you're not with the client. You're not listening. You're not, I like to say, channeling the question because you're too busy holding on to something. So in a way, you kind of block. So be comfortable with the not knowing. Brilliant. Oh my goodness. I love it. Can't wait to coach somebody, but it won't be till Monday.
Oh.
Unless I snag somebody somewhere at a restaurant and corner them, and I don't think that'll work. Oh my goodness. I would like to mention one thing in this article that I really hit me quite well, and I love the way you say it. It's what this whole issue is about. Facing the unspeakable issues head on in a coaching relationship is not merely an ethical obligation. It's a calling that goes to the heart of why we became coaches in the first place. Yeah, thank you. Well said. And we're coming close to the end of our conversation today. And I have one more big question. What would you like our audience to do as a result of the article and this conversation?
I wish that we are all braver, to be honest with ourselves. Regularly. That means also to face feedback, go to supervision, practically exposure, because it's very safe. Mainly one-on-one coaching is a super safe job, a bit lonely, but super safe. Normally, clients like you. Right? You have very good conversations, good time together. You feel good. You get paid. And years can go by actually without being challenged. You can manage it on the surface so you don't get challenged. And just take a deep breath, go there. And also face it that it's a continuous learning. So if you don't feel being challenged, that also means that just like you expect the client, right, to challenge themselves and go out of the comfort zone, blah, 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 because life is there. And we are sitting in our office or in the Zoom doing the same stuff for years, it's not very authentic. So exposure. That's my wish for all of us to remain authentic, credible, safe for clients.
Do our own work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dora, thank you so much for joining us for this Beyond the Page podcast episode. What's the best way for people to reach you?
Well, probably actually in the podcast, you will find links to my website. I'm also on LinkedIn. I have my Facebook profile as well. So, oops, stepping out. Yes. On my calendar, you can book an intro session, a first chemistry meeting free of charge, 20 minutes. So, because it's like human to human. You need to feel that It will work, not just based on my profile, but also how we click or not.
I can't imagine anyone not clicking with you. You're absolutely fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Beyond the Page. For more episodes, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. I know we're on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple for sure. If you're not a subscriber yet, you can sign up for a free digital issue of Choice Magazine by going to choice-online.com and clicking the Sign Up Now button. I'm Gary Schleifer. Enjoy the journey of mastery. Thanks, Dora.
Thank you so much.